السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So I guess you're wondering what we were doing. Well, we're continuing with our superstar series as we go into the 10 promised paradise. Let me catch my breath. So, we're talking about a great companion by the name of Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah was one of the converts, the earliest converts of Islam, and in fact, he's one of the people that accepted Islam on the hands of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Now, why was I doing that? Because Abu Ubaidah is actually known for being one of the most skilled archers in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before Islam, I just want you to get a little look at what his regimen was like. Before Islam, his father taught him, before the age of 5 years old, how to take two heavy objects and to literally do squats. Then his father taught him how to pull heavy animals while at the same time throwing a spear. Then his father taught him, by the age of 8 years old, how to shoot an arrow at a stationary target. By the age of 10, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu had learned how to shoot at a target while he was riding on an animal. By the age of 12, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had learned how to shoot at a moving target while he was on a moving animal. And he could actually shoot a target right in the middle and break it into half. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was extremely skilled. Now when he accepted Islam, as you can imagine, his father was a tough guy. He actually wanted to kill him. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he utilized the talents of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. Abu Ubaidah had such a talent, or such a skill, where he could go and he could scout an area where the enemies had been. So in the Battle of Badr, for example, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu could go to a place where the enemy had set up their tents, had once set their camels. He could, by looking at the animal dung, by analyzing the footprints, by analyzing just what was going on around the area after they left the area, he could come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He could tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how many animals the mushrikeen had. He could count the footsteps and tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how many people were there. He could tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam how many of the animals were used for carrying luggage by looking at the depth of their footprints and by looking at the quality of their dung. He could tell how many of them were warrior animals and how many of them were used for carrying luggage or were used for carrying weapons. All of this by just looking at a place that the mushrikeen had once set up site, had once set up camp. So this was a skill that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu had, and he served honorably with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout all of his battles from Badr onwards. And in fact, in the Battle of Badr, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu actually had to fight against his own father, Abdullah ibn al-Jarrah. Abdullah tried to kill Abu Ubaidah when he accepted Islam, and so Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was one of the people that made both of the hijras, the initial hijrah to Abyssinia, and then the second migration to Al-Madinah. Now Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, in the Battle of Badr, he didn't want to fight his father, but his father was chasing him all around the battlefield until his father finally ambushed him, and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu had to kill his own father. And the Sahaba were worried, and there was a certain ayah that was revealed actually that approved the action of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, and I'll let you guess what that ayah is, and you'll find out at the end of this video. Anyway, continuing forward, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave Abu Ubaidah a special title. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was known as Amin hadhihi al-Ummah, the trustworthy one of this Ummah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam held him in high esteem. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did also, Umar ibn al-Khattab also. In fact, when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, took Umar ibn al-Khattab and Abu Ubaidah with him to meet with some of the Ansar who were disputing about who the Khalifa would be. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he said, here you have Umar ibn al-Khattab, the Faruq of this Ummah, and you have Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, the Amin of this Ummah, the trustworthy one of this Ummah. Choose whichever one you may choose. SubhanAllah. So Abu Bakr was suggesting that Abu Ubaidah was worthy of being the Khalifa, even in his presence, although of course we know Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the greatest. Also when Umar radiallahu anhu passed away, Abu Ubaidah was already dead, and Umar radiallahu anhu said, if Abu Ubaidah was still alive, I would appoint him as the Khalifa. This would be an easy decision. But because he's not alive, we have to form the Shura. So you can see how much they praised him. Why did they praise him so much? What was it that was so special about this person? Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala anhu was such a simple person. He was someone that put the deen before all of his needs. So we see, for example, in the Battle of Uhud, Amin hadhihi al-Ummah, the trustworthy one of this Ummah, when he saw that the helmet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was driven into his cheeks. As we know, in the Battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was injured greatly. Abu Ubaidah was one of the few people who shielded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in fact, he bit onto the helmet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the parts of the helmet that were in his cheeks, and he bit them out so that they came out of the cheeks of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of that, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu lost both of his front teeth, which caused him to have a deficiency in the way that he would speak. So subhanAllah, we see that this was a person that always put the deen first. But in particular, if there is one thing that I could point at, or one quality that I could identify that astonished me from the Sahabi, was that he was so concerned with the progression of this deen, while at the same time not very concerned with his own dunya. So for example, we see that Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was appointed as the general, the army general, when Umar radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa. And the one before him was Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu. And unfortunately, people try to portray, people try to say that there was a problem between Umar and Khalid, and that's why he replaced them. But actually, that's not the case. There was much benefit to having Abu Ubaidah as the new general. And in particular, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was a negotiator. He was soft. He could meet with the leaders. He would assure the church leaders and the leaders of different parts of Islam that the Muslims were not going to harm their churches. He converted many people without there even being necessity of a battle. Khalid radiallahu anhu was not so diplomatic. Khalid radiallahu anhu got sent a special pillow by the Christians. He tore it in half. All right. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, because of his negotiating skills, actually did much good for the Ummah. At the same time, he was a fighter. At the same time, he was one who gained the respect of not just his Muslim peers, but his non-Muslim peers also. So when you see, for example, the hadith, but rather the incident where Umar ibn al-Khattab entered into Jerusalem, and he was in the situation that he was, you know, clothes that were stitched up, patched up, he had the slave on the camel, and Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was the one who came to Umar ibn al-Khattab and was upset with Umar for the way that he was dressed. It's not because Abu Ubaidah himself preferred the dunya, it's because he was concerned with the progression of Islam. Maybe he was wrong in that incident, but it was not this personal pompous attitude that he had. He was concerned for the progression of the deen. This was his lifestyle. So Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he spread the deen to different parts of Islam. He negotiated with Christian leaders around the world. At the same time, he's credited by some historians as founding the first hospitals in the Middle East. Abu Ubaidah built many hospitals, radiallahu anhu. Ash-Sham used to flood many times, so he actually built a dam that prohibited Ash-Sham, or that stopped Ash-Sham from flooding so much. So all this, right, he put the deen ahead. He was all about the progression of the deen. But at the same time, what was his lifestyle like? Now we know Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, he used to go and check up on all of his governors around the world. Like he'd make surprise visits to check up on his ministers. So one day Umar ibn al-Khattab came to Abu Ubaidah in Ash-Sham and he said, "Let's go to your house and have something to eat." Abu Ubaidah said to Umar ibn al-Khattab, "You're going to hurt your eyes for me, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. Why don't we just eat somewhere? Why do we have to go to my house?" But Umar ibn al-Khattab said, "Let's go to your house." When Umar radiallahu anhu entered into the house of Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah, all he saw was that Abu Ubaidah had a jug and a small rug where he could sleep on. And he was shocked. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said, where is your furniture? You know, where are your things? You're an Amir. You shouldn't be living like this. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he said, "I have no need for this. I told you, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you're just going to hurt your eyes over me." And Umar ibn al-Khattab started to cry. He said, "You're an Amir. You shouldn't live like this." And subhanAllah, Abu Ubaidah said, "I don't know why you did this to yourself. I told you, you're just going to hurt your eyes looking at my situation." But Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, this man who is credited with all the progression of the Ummah, this man who is concerned with the appearance of the Ummah, this man who spread the deen everywhere, he maintained simplicity in his life. He never let that enter into his own heart. And so Umar ibn al-Khattab said very powerful words to him. He said to him, "غَيَّرَتْنَا الدُّنْيَا كُلُّنَا," that the dunya has changed all of us, "غَيْرُكَ يَا أَبَا عُبَيْدَةَ," except for you, O Abu Ubaidah. The dunya has changed all of us. When you get involved in the work of Islam, and where you're concerned with the spread of deen, don't allow that to manifest itself in your own, you know, in you yourself being so concerned with your own progression, with your own lifestyle being lifted, that, you know, or being elevated, that you forget your mission and you forget your purpose. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu never forgot his purpose, and that's why he was the Amin of this Ummah. So I hope that inshallah ta'ala we take from this that when we're concerned with the spread of the deen, at the same time we maintain a dignified lifestyle, but we do not feel like we should be entitled to the goods of this world because we are involved in the work of deen. Remain as much as you can simplistic. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us that special quality, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to join us with the superstars of this ummah, the 10 promised paradise, and the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the highest level of Jannat al-Firdaus. Inshallah ta'ala, I'll see you next week as we continue with this series. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.